This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. I'd like you to open your Bibles this evening to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse out of this chapter. Say a few things and give you portions of some passages of Scripture. And then we'll go back to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Father, we thank you for your word, whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's in our vehicles. We just thank you for it. We thank you for the words. Thank you for the spiritual meaning behind the words. Thank you for the spiritual understanding of them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for each one of us here who know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a message to those who are saved. And Father, it would be a great tragic disaster to sit under the preaching of your word. Under the preaching of the gospel and remain lost. But it happens more frequently than not. And so we are very aware of that. And we pray that while we're dealing with one subject, maybe the Holy Spirit would deal with a person's soul in salvation in the meantime. And that they would come to Christ, even though we're speaking to those who profess to be saved. We ask that we bend the knee to you and to your word and don't stand in judgment upon it. For it is your word. And knowing that your thoughts and your ways are much higher than ours, we would be very wise to not only believe it, but to live it out. So speak to every heart here tonight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to do a great service to yourself as believers in your study, your reading, your devotions of God's Word, take the time to mark and meditate and obey the B's of the Word of God. And I'm talking about the letter B, even though I kind of had to address the message as B-E-E, but the B's of the Scripture. They are very numerous. I'm going to touch on New Testament this evening, and didn't do anything in the Old Testament. And these are B's that never sting, and yet they can yield a great deal of honey, of sweetness, of obedience. It's their nature to be found together, and these are great lessons for not only adults, but for children. The solution to what I'm about to say is simple. Read, trust, obey. You don't need it. You don't need a debate. You don't need we don't need to go into discussions and apologetics of this or that. But let me give you a small sample, and I'm just going to read these. Some of these I'm going to refer back to because they are in the book of 1 Peter. Be kindly affectioned one to another, Romans 12:10. Be sober and watch unto prayer, 1 Peter 4:7. Be content with such things as ye have, Hebrews 13:5. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. Be courteous, 1 Peter 3:8. Be followers of God as dear children, Ephesians 1. And of course, the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, even though the word be isn't used in there, we use it for the Beatitudes. And, you know, we kind of separate that. All right, so tonight I want to look into 1 Peter and address some of these. And the interesting part of doing something like this is if I was going to select the order here, I would select it differently. But God's Word is the order that I want to go by here tonight. So I want to start up in here in verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this one here has a wide range of applications biblically. And the first B there is be sober. All right. In the New Testament, the context in which this one word appears can mean all of what I'm going to say. First, vigilant. Secondly, self-controlled. Thirdly, of sound mind or in one's right mind. That's key, isn't it? Are you in your right mind? I would hope we're in our right mind. Well, what determines the right mind or a sound mind? Our opinion? Our experience? The flesh? No. The Scripture. The Scripture determines that. And I have to bow the knee to the Scripture here. So, and the fourth one is the abstinence from alcohol. Well, biblically, we know that would be the strong drink and the wine. Today, we add beer. I don't know that beer was available, you know, when the Scriptures were written. I don't know that the degradation had sunk that far. Maybe it had, but I'm not aware of it. So, and yet, all these definitions can be tied together in how they're used. So my goal is not to study the word itself because I've got too many other things to do, but just how it's used here in Peter's epistles, though I will make reference to elsewhere. The same word is found in chapter 5, if you would turn there, chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which we use in reference to fighting the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. All right? So, what does it mean here in chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 5, verse 8? It means abstinence in both places. And chapter 5, verse 8 elaborates further by the word vigilance. All right? That means to be awake, watchful. Hold your place here. Go back with Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And as you're turning there, I want you to understand something about sober. Sober is not the opposite of drunk. Sometimes I don't know what the deal is, why we would go that direction, but we seem to go to one end of the scale or the other. It is anything that lessens the other definitions. Anything that lessens it. In other words, anything that lessens your vigilance, anything that lessens your self-control, anything that lessens you being of sound mind, or being of the same mind, that's what this is referring to. Involved with drinking, all right? Where was I? Matthew 24, start here in verse 42. Now, this is speaking tribulation period, but I want to use it in reference to a word. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if a good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, if you knew that somebody was coming to your house, to your home, and he was going to break in, the scripture says you would watch. You would be vigilant. You would listen. You would hear a pin drop because you know that he's coming. Well, after you and I got saved and the Holy Spirit indwells us, what do you think Satan has been trying to do to you all this time? He's been trying to destroy you, 1 Peter 5:8. He's been seeking to destroy you and me. So what do we have to do? We have to be sober, vigilant. And if I'm not sober, I can't be vigilant. I just can't. You say, well, you're talking degrees. No, I'm not. I'm talking plain sense here. So in 1:13, I mean, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the same definition is used, but in respect of a sound mind. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. What is that? That's healthy. Healthy doctrine. I don't want to give you anemic doctrine. I don't want to receive anemic doctrine, false doctrine, faulty doctrine, experiential doctrine. I want to give you what the Word of God says. And so when I read a word like that and it says be sober, then I understand that I'm taking into account four definitions. I don't need to go necessarily and figure this out singly, but actually singularly, but just taking it at face value. Now, I could cite all the references that I have, but then we'd never get to the other places. And this is only one thing. This is not where I'm majoring by any means. All right, go down to verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. That as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It's a quotation from the book of Leviticus. And we are to be holy people. We are to be holy in all manner of our behavior, which includes, obviously, our conversation. Now, if this is commanded, and we are told we can't do this, we are told from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, these things write unto you that ye sin not, that's not possible. And yet if God commands something, it is possible. And so here he commands us to be holy, to be set apart to God in a practical sense in our everyday lives, which reflects on our character. Holiness would be a reflection of what's inside making its way outside. You can't mimic holiness. It's impossible. There was a lady here, and I don't think there's any threat that she would come back. And she professed to be somebody that was into holiness. And she was very upset because her husband wasn't even saved. And so she wanted to dump him because he wasn't a Christian and she was unequally yoked. I said, well, were both of you believers? Were you a believer when you got married? No. Well, I said, you're taking scripture out of context here. This isn't what it says. And I said, you need to be the example and the testimony to win him. Oh, she didn't want any part of that. And she just went on about how holy she is and how holy she is and how holy she is and how unholy everything else is. And then what happened? Many of you remember, she left him and moved in with another guy. That's holiness? No, that's pretense. That's all that is. At some point, I mean, I need to clear my throat. A second. I'm good. I got water underneath. I read your mind. I'm going to make you suffer. At some point, we have to realize our sanctification is important to God. The moment I got saved, I was sanctified. I was set apart to God positionally. Practically, it's a lifelong journey. I hope I'm closer to God today than I was last year, or to the day that I got saved. And yet I'm not content enough to say, okay, I've reached that pinnacle and I'm not going to get any more holy than I am today. No, there's never a place when I'll achieve that, but I ought to try. Not in my flesh, but as the Holy Spirit has use of me in whatever capacity, because we're never going to reach that place of perfection. I know that I've been saved from the penalty of death. I know that I'm being saved from the power of sin. Sin does not have the power it had when I was lost. And I know one day I'll be saved from the presence of sin altogether. So I've got a past, I've got a present, and I've got a future, all involved in sanctification. You and I better get hold of this, that we cannot try to test God's limits on our freedom as believers. God never expected us to say, how far do you think you can go without being punished? That's not what we're here for. I mean, we may do that inadvertently, but when you try that, you're going to suffer. Sometime last year, there was a man that came down here from Georgia visiting. He was doing some, I don't know what he was doing, but it doesn't matter. He came and visited. I think he was doing something out at the Cape. And he was the editor of a small publication of Holiness Baptist churches in Georgia. He didn't tell me that till later. And for some reason, and I attribute this just to the Lord, he was taken by the message, and many of you here, as he commented on both. And it was unusual, he said, to find somebody that wasn't in the holiness movement outside of their circle that deemed to show a sense of holiness. And we had a good conversation, and he sends me his publication every month or whenever they mail it. They're different in their persuasion theologically, but we have a good relationship. And some of this stuff, again, I maintain is semantical. Yet I know that he can go over the deep end. But what happened? What did he see? I'm not a part of a holiness movement, but I believe that you and I are to be a people that are holy. God said it. Be holy. It's not a suggestion. And if I can keep in mind that as a person, a believer, a son, set apart to God, there are certain things that I need to refrain from, to separate from. Because I am set apart to God, and I ought to reflect that. So what I'm dealing with here when I read this, lifelong journey. Lifelong journey. And we have to ask ourselves, am I closer to you? Am I more holy than I was last week, last month, last year? You're the only ones that can answer that. I have to answer for me, but you can answer that for yourself. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 8. Verse 8 has three of these in them, the three B's. And the first one, well, we'll read the whole verse and then we'll go back. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as it, brethren. Be pitiful. Be pitiful. Be courteous. All right, so here's the first one. Be all of one mind. Now, the context is in the marriage. That's important. But the application, I believe, is in the local church. I believe it's in life altogether, wherever we go. And we meet people that are supposed to profess to be saved. We ought to be of one mind, like-minded. I said one of the things to Eric and Lisa before they left, I said, what I sense here is that we're like-minded. Now, this is one message, one visit, and so forth, but there's just that sense of being of one mind. Go back here to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. There's two references in the book of Acts that lend themselves to what I'm talking about, especially here in the local church. Acts chapter 1. And we'll start here in verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. You know what a Sabbath day's journey is? 9/10 of a mile. Do you know that the Seventh-day Adventists break the Sabbath every time they go to their church on Saturday? There's not one of them that live within 9/10 of a mile. The law says, since they're living under the law, they can only travel 9/10 of a mile. All right, so that's what this is what this is. Now I lost my place. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Where's Peter? He's not there yet. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord, one mind. They were not divided. There was not somebody saying, I don't want to pray about this, I want to pray about that. They knew what they were there for, and they all prayed. All right, chapter 4. Pentecost has come. The gospel has been preached in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. People have been being saved, and the religious community is very upset. So chapter 4, the disciples have been told they can't preach like this. They can't talk about Christ. They can't speak about the resurrection. And so after they've been dressed down, they go back to their group, and we read beginning in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You know what that says? They are of one mind. They understood what they were there for. Do you understand why you're here? I don't mean here tonight. I mean here as a saved individual. Do you understand why the Lord has left you here and not taken you home? We ought to be of one mind. Well, he left me here so that I could do this and I could do this and I could do this. He left you here for himself, so that you could bring glory to him. And how do we bring glory to him? By obeying his word, by being concerned about other people and trying to win them to Christ. It's not about us. It's about us working for him. All right? So we read this in 1 Peter to be of one mind. Like-minded. Sorry. Second one. Toward the end of the verse, be pitiful. It's a shame that pitiful means something negative today. Didn't mean that meant to be sympathetic. It meant to be tender-hearted. Both of those are necessary to you not becoming hard-hearted and prideful. If these are not a part, if this word is not a part of you, ultimately you will become very prideful and your heart is going to be very hardened. When we talk about compassion, highly compassionate. And today you need a high level of compassion for the lost, because the lost are getting dirtier and dirtier and more sinful and more problematic than at any time that I, you know, in my saved life, and probably not as sinful and problematic in days to come. But somebody has to have compassion on them. And if you don't, who is? Jehovah's Witnesses? Mormons? Islam? Catholicism? Go through the list. They're going to be more compassionate. They don't have any compassion. When the United Methodist Church has a chaplain go into the hospital, they are told, you deal with the physical, don't deal with the spiritual. Well, how's that compassionate? Here you've got a person that could lose their lives and their soul, and you just want to deal with, I know how you feel. You don't know how they feel. But do you know where you're going? Do you know what's going to happen to you if anything were to happen? Oh, we don't want to touch that, because we want to make them feel happy. We want them to die happy and lost. I mean, let's tell it like it is. Be pitiful, and then be courteous. That's more than opening the door for a lady. Do you remember when men used to open the doors of cars for their wives or for kids? That's out the window. Do you remember when men would say, I'll fill your tank with gas? You don't need to do that. I know where we are. I'm just saying that courteous means in our manner of life, the way we live our lives, inwardly and outwardly. Concerned for other people, kind, friendly of mind. It's not hard, because it comes, I believe that it works through the fruit of the Spirit, as we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. I'm not against men here. What I'm saying, look, we need to be a courteous people. And it affects women as well. Courteous, kind, friendly of mind. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. There we go. And who is it that who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? We are to be followers of that which is good. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Is God good? Absolutely. Is there anybody that can measure up to God? No. We're to be followers of God because God is good. So we should be a followers of God. All right, go to 3 John. It's right after 2 John, which is right after 1 John. If you need help with that, right before Jude, which is right before Revelation, which is right before the index. All right, 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. All right, what is evil? Anything opposed to the truth, accuracy, doctrine of the Word of God. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now we're talking about practice of life, the way that we look at this. All right, who can accomplish this? Only saved people. And only saved people that are yielded to the Holy Spirit in any of these things can do these things. Because the flesh doesn't want to go the good way. The flesh wants to go its own way. It wants to go the world's way. There's even flesh that wants to go Satan's way. It's pathetic, but it's true. All right, so we see we are to be courteous. We are to be pitiful. We are to be of one mind. We're to be sober. And look at verse 15, which we started with. First memory verse I had in Bible college. It was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It has stuck with me for my entire Christian life. That I'm a person that has to be ready. Alright? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set Him apart in your heart. Not set Him apart as, oh, I know what I am positionally. This is practical sanctification. Set Him apart in your hearts and be ready once in a while when it's convenient. No, always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We are to be a prepared people. One needs to know the what, the why, and the where of what they profess to be. It's necessary. It's essential that you know the what, the why, and the where of who you say you are. Some people say, I know the verses in the Bible, but I don't know where it is. I've done that as well, but I've worked at trying to remember where the passages are found because it's important to know why and where it is. Too many people say godliness is next to cleanliness. So, has anybody ever said that to you? Somebody said to me, I said, where's it found? Well, I don't know, but I know it's there. I said, well, until you can find it, I'm not going to believe it. There's a lot of things that are said, but and we can have it happen to us. We can give them the truth of something. Don't know where it is, but we know it's true. And they can look at it and say, I don't believe that. And so you have to go back and find out where it is. And if you have the opportunity, talk to them again. We have to be ready all the time because we have conversations and we have dealings with people and something comes up and you have to be instantly ready for whatever you're dealing with. It's part of a predetermination. You just have to be. There are times when I've let down and been caught off guard, and I'm sure we're all of the same persuasion, but most of the time I'm ready. I'm ready and I'm waiting. Sometimes I initiate something. When I worked at the lumber store in Montana, I knew that there were severe limitations on me talking to people, the customers. And so we dealt with the Amish people, but in Montana they were called Hutterites. And so I would make sure that if I were to wait on them, I would say every single time, hey, what do you know for sure today? And you know what they would do? Every single time they would give me something. They were feeling good. They were feeling lousy. One guy was the spiritual leader, and he said, nobody listens to me. Nobody will of those people would listen to me. He says, what do you know for sure? They asked me a question. I know for sure that I'm saved. I know why I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I know what it, and in 20 seconds, I've gone through the entire thing. It's all set up by me asking them something, but I'm ready when that happens. Sometimes you can have something. A guy worked at a bank and he put a little sticker on his desk and it said, I'm going. So employees, he wasn't supposed to talk about the Lord. So people initiated. So people would come by and eventually somebody would say, where are you going? The door's open. Right? We're intelligent human beings. We're supposed to be intelligent, saved people. We'll use that. There's much more than we can do, but we need to be ready. Now, I'm going to go back to something. If my mind is not sound, if I'm not under control of myself, if I'm not vigilant, will I be ready? No. There'll be some distraction, So all of these things are necessary. Okay, verse, where am I? Chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Peter, chapter 3. I'm sorry. I forgot that I was going into 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Be diligent, prompt, earnest, sincere. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our labor according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. What we do for the Lord is never in vain. I don't need you to show me. I don't need to show you. You need to show the Lord. You don't do things because somebody's going to watch you to do it, and that's the only reason you're doing it. It's what you do when you're by yourself. It's what you do when no one else does see you. That's important, because that's you. If all I'm doing this is for show, then wood, hay, stubble. If I'm doing it for the Lord, gold, silver, precious stones. It's important. Right? This is to typify our service for the Lord in all things. What's the result if we do? Well, be found of him in peace. What is the missing link here today in Christianity? Peace. Peace with God. Peace of God. No, peace of God. Not the peace with God. We got the peace of God when we got saved. Peace with him. I got it reversed. The very thing that will keep us from being troubled within is the peace of God. All right. What does it say? Be diligent. Be without blemish morally. Unblameable. You know, a spot. If you're a clean person, you can see a spot anywhere. Charlotte shouldn't tell this about Charlotte. Charlotte's a very clean person, and she would walk through here and check Margaret's work, and she would rub her finger along the windowsills. She's just very thorough, but she was looking for spots. All right. What do you think the devil's looking for? To create spots, so that you're found not without spot, but to be blamed. All right. We should be a people that do our utmost to keep ourselves spotless. Whatever this is. And that includes everything I just read from 1 Peter. And the relationship to the other passages. Why? Because God says it. And he doesn't mean this to deter us or to knock us down or oppress us. He does this so that we can be free to serve him and live for him and to have power. Why sometimes are these things so difficult? They're difficult because this book is not going to have rule over me. I'll take this part. I'll take that part. I'll take even the index. But I'm not going to take these little things that are so big that control our everyday life. The Lord has saved us. He has set us apart to himself. And now he wants us to sanctify him by all these things in which we do. And I'm not even touching the subject. If you look at all the words that are mentioned where B is in it, you would see there's not anything that the Lord has left up to you. He has told you what he wants. That's the kind of God that I want to serve. I don't want him to leave it up to me, because if he leaves it up to me, then me is going to get in the way of Him. We have a wonderful book. We have a perfect book, and nothing is left in gray. You'd say, "Oh, you don't believe in gray?" No. We had a lady that came here whose name was Gray. I wouldn't call her Gray. I said, "There's no such thing as gray. You're either this or you're that, but you're not gray. You don't cease to be something." And I was being funny with her, but really, this is a book. God says what He meant what He said, and the answers are here. I don't have them all. Don't mistake me when I say that. I do not have them all, but I know they're here. And when you ask me a question and I don't know it, I'll find it, because I know it's here. We did a thing once where a pastor of the church said, "Ask me anything or make mention of a subject and how you could use that to witness." And there were some incredibly difficult things that were said, and every one of those could be used from the scripture to answer the questions. When we study, we should go back to some of the conversations with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, some of the questions that went against the prophets, some of the Psalms and the questions that the psalmist had, and answer them. Know how to answer them. Many of the things that were unknown to the psalmists were answered later or in the psalm. But we're content with reading the question and saying, "Oh yeah, that's a good question." Well, what's the answer? What's the answer to unbelief? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever denomination, whatever religion, whatever is going on, it's still the Lord Jesus Christ. It always was, it always will be. So let's be the people that God wants us to be. All right? None of these things should hurt any of us. None of those things that I mentioned have any stingers in them, so that you'll draw back and say, "Ow, that really hurt." No, these are things that God wants us to be. All right? And if we will, we'll be much sweeter, we'll be much more productive, we'll bear more fruit. It's not the sum total of everything that's here, but it's a good beginning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the concern that You have to the writing of Your word, in the epistle of Peter here, these two epistles. I don't mean to be overly simplistic. I don't mean to be interfering with any of our lives, but listen, our lives, Lord, I know too many times interfere with Your word. And we will give answers to the very things that disagree with You. There is a passage in 1 John that talks about a full reward. Maybe it's 2 John. You know where it is. I forgot where it is. It talks about a full reward. Right, my desire as a pastor, as a shepherd, for the sheep, is a full reward. Not to be satisfied with the dregs of the earth. Not to be satisfied with, "I'm saved, so what's the big deal?" The big deal is that we belong to the true and living God, You, our Father. And we are here as ambassadors of Christ. We represent Him. Father, I want to represent Him well. And to do that, there are many things that I need to be. Among them, just this short little message in 1st and 2nd Peter. So I pray You'd speak to our hearts, and that Your will be accomplished in us, in our everyday lives, not just here, but away from here. We pray, Father, if there's anyone here tonight, without Christ, they would come. Receive Him as their Savior. Someone will sit down and show them how they can know beyond any question about their salvation. And if there's any that are here and you've spoken to them this evening, come and pray. There may be somebody here that the Lord is speaking to in another way altogether. And Father, we just want Your will to be in their lives. We want to be of one mind. And I pray that that would take place, not only here during an invitation, but during any service, all of our services, all of our functions, and how we get things done here. And so we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.